Okay, Rabbi says, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Beis. We have a tremendous chus to have my father joining us, not live necessarily, because the timing doesn't work out, but unfortunately because of current events, so his daf Yom Yishir got canceled a little bit. So he's going to be listening in a little bit, and it's a tremendous chus for me to learn this with him, and with all of you. So we are holding here on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We are by Tana Chadi. We are, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, a little, maybe like 15 lines up. The Gemara is going to bring a couple of contradictions between one contradiction between two brises. Again, we're talking about Hotzah, and we had been discussing a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in terms of when a person goes out, it carries something shelo kedarko, or in a different manner of than normal people carrying, right? Normal way of carrying something outside is with one hand, holding it in your hand, holding it with two hands, whatever it is, holding it in your hand. But there were some professionals, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who could go out with their tools, either attached to their clothing or whatever, that would not be the normal way of carrying, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, for that type of professional, you would be chayiv. So the Gemara is now going to discuss a different type of carrying that may or may not be normal, may or not be regular. It's going to figure out whether you're a chayiv for that. So Tani Chada, we learn in a brisa, in one brisa, lo yetze hazav b'kiso v'miyatza pater. Pater avalaser, v'tani idach lo yetze v'miyatza chayiv chatas. Now, just a little bit of background. A zav is someone who has an emission, has some sort of illness, or an emission comes out of his private area. So the din is like this: that if a person has one emission, so then he just kind of goes to the mikveh the next day and he's totally fine, he's tahor and he's fine. But once he has two emissions or three emissions, and this is what we're going to talk about. So the difference between the two and three. But once a person has two or three emissions, so then he has to wait seven clean days. He has to make sure he has seven clean days before going to the mikvah. And if he has three emissions, so then he needs to bring a korban afterwards. So basically what people with these emissions, azav is a male, azava is a female. We're talking about males here right now. So if azav, they used to go out bikiso. They used to have some sort of pouch, some sort of leather protector, pouch or protector that would go around the man's private area, and they would check it afterwards, right, to see if there was some sort of emission. That's how they would know whether he had a clean day or not. Because again, he needs seven clean days before he can go to the mikvah and become tahor. So we have two contradicting brises. One of them says that a zav, if he goes out with this pouch kind of tied around his body, obviously it's not a normal way of carrying. So one brisa says pater aval asur, meaning it's asur derabanan. And one brisa says he's chayiv chatas, meaning it's asur deoraisa, and that he's actually chayiv as if he did the regular malacha. So that Amar Rav Yosef, back in the Gemara, so Rav Yosef says, I have no problem with the contradiction. Ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the machlokes we saw before, that according to Rabbi Meir, the only way you're going to be chayiv midoraisa for carrying hotzah is if you do it in the normal way. So therefore, when you go out with this pouch, that's not the normal way at all, and you're not chayiv midoraisa. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that no, if you go outside in a manner that is not normal necessarily, but normal for the situation that you're in, so that like a zav who needs to check whether he has an emission or not during the day on Shabbos, so then you are going to be chayiv midoraisa for going outside from Yishus HaYaka to Yishus HaRadim. Abaye said to him, wait a second, Emor d'shmais le Rabbi Meir b'midi d'lav hanu orche. So Rabbi Meir says, yeah, hold on. Rabbi Meir says that you're not chayiv in something that's unusual, that's strange. But midi d'have orche mishmiasle. But in something that is normal, i.e. this zav wearing a pouch, yeah, having this kind of protective thing around his area, so that's normal for a zav. So mishmiasle. So maybe Rabbi Meir would agree that you would be chayiv. D'ilo tema achi. Because if you don't say that, elameata, if you say that, that's then maybe perhaps hediot shechokak kav bebikas b'shabbos. That Rabbi Meir hachinayim d'lamachayev. Elamayata, maybe you would say that a hedyot, a regular person, that drills a hole in a piece of wood on Shabbos in a trunk, on a trunk, let's say a log or a wood, a big piece of wood, right? A professional log cutter or carpenter perhaps would be able to cut a perfectly symmetrical hole. If you gave me a drill, I would have no idea. I would probably butcher it. There would be a hole in the log or in the tree, but I wouldn't get a perfect hole, and there would need to be some work done afterwards. So you tell me that in any scenario, according to Rabbi Meir, any malacha that you do, not in the most professional way, in the most normal way, you're going to be pater? No, it must be that you are that person who does this, even if it's not professional or normal necessarily, right? You must be chayav for these actions, right? Certainly that would be usher on Shabbos. So Ella, rather, it must be that the difference in these two brises is not a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir, because it must be that Rabbi Meir would hold that you're chayav in that case. Ella Amar Rav Nuna, Rav Nuna says lokasha kan bezov bal shtei rios, kan bezov bal shalosh rios. No, the case where you're going to be pater, that's if when the zov only saw two rios. When you're going to be chayiv is when he saw, other way around. When the Zav saw two ri'os, he's going to be chayiv midoraisa. When he saw three ri'os, then he's going to be pater aval asr, then it's going to be asr midorabanan. The Gemara says, Maishna Zav bal shtei ri'os techayiv, demeboyle labdika. What's the difference between a Zav that has two ri'os and a Zav that has three ri'os? We said before at the beginning that a Zav who's seen two emissions, so he doesn't need to bring a korban. A Zav who sees three emissions, he does need to bring a korban. So presumably, the Zav who has two emissions is checking to see if he had a third to know if he was chayav a korban. But a Zav that has three emissions, back in the Gemara, Zav bal gimel nami mebayalei l'sfira, right? A Zav who is who's seen three emissions, he also needs this pouch because he needs to check whether he had seven clean days, right? Regardless of whether he had two or three emissions, both of them need this pouch to check, and it would be a normal way of going around with this pouch. So Gemara says, you're right. Lo nitzrucha ela lebo bayom. It must be that we're talking about a case where the Zav saw three emissions, and it's still the same day where he saw the third emission. Because you can only count seven clean days from the next day, i.e. when you're clean, when you don't have an emission. So it must be that he went out on Shabbos with this pouch on the third day, or after the day that he saw the third emission. Or you can have three in one day, or one in 3 days. But either way, he saw an emission that day, and now he's going out on Shabbos, so he doesn't need the pouch to check for anything, because you know only tomorrow he can start the counting. So Gemara says, wait a second. There's another reason the Zav might need the pouch. The Zav still should need this pouch, and it still should be normal for him to wear it, because he doesn't want his clothes, Kalim here it means clothes, he doesn't want his clothes to get dirty. Rabbi Zera says, "Hai Tana." So the Tana of this brisa, Hodo Amar, Kol Atzuli Tino Floka Chashiv. Anything that protects something from getting dirty is not chashiv, is not important, is not relevant. The Tana, like we learned in the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah is going to be a case. It's a Mishnah in Machshirin, I think. That this is going to be totally not relevant. We're going to see. What's the common denominator here is that you're going to see that things that are protecting something else is not considered the most important aspect. Now, just before we get into this Mishnah, the beginning of this daf is hard, and then the end of it kind of eases up. For food to become tamei, it needs to have touched water. For any food or produce or whatever, for it to become tamei, it needs to have been come into contact with water. The Torah says, "Ki yutan mayim al zerev and afal meniv lasam alav tamei hu lachem." If any water falls on food, or in the case in the pasuk is seeds or produce, and then there's some sort of sheret, some sort of tamei item falls on it, so then it becomes tamei. So the pasuk there says ki yutan, and the Gemara learns. Where's that Gemara? I think it's about Metzia. So the Gemara learns that a person needs to have wanted the item to become wet for the water to enable tumah to take effect. For example, you have an apple, and for the apple to be able to become tameh, you need to have wanted water to come on it. If the apple got wet for whatever reason and you didn't want it, meaning the for whatever reason the water might ruin the apple, so then the apple will not contract tumah. If you did want the water to be come on it for so whatever reason, if you did need the water, so then the apple can become tumah. So with that background, let's dive into the Gemara. So back in the last line on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, that's not what we learned in the Mishnah. Hakofe kara ala kotel. If you put a kara as a plate upside down on a wall, okay, while it, the case is while it's raining, Rashi writes sheyordim gishamim, it's raining, and you put a plate upside down on a wall, im bishvil shetuda hakara, if it's so that the plate will get washed off, i.e. you want the water in that situation, harei ze bechiyutan, that counts as something that you want. In other words, if that water would then splash onto produce, so then it would make the produce susceptible to tumah. Okay, then bishvil shalo amud bey, or I guess amud aleph. If bishvil shalo yilke hakotel, but if you put the plate on top of the wall so that the wall won't get wet or damaged, then you don't want the water, and then ainu b'chiyutan, and then it does not count as water that you want. So we see, so what do you see? That something done to protect something else from getting messed up, i.e. putting the plate on top of the wall, that is not significant. That's not chashuv. So apparently, if the Zav uses, according to this Tana, if the Zav uses the pouch to protect his clothing, so that's not considered chashuv. It's not going to be considered a normal way of going out on doing hotzah on Shabbos. Gemara says immediately, as you might be thinking, right? Mi dami, these cases are comparable. What are you talking about? Hasam loka boilu lahani mashkin klal. Over there, in the case of the rain, right? He doesn't want the water at all. Right? The rain is he's trying to protect the wall. He has no interest whatsoever in the liquid. Hacha ka boilu lahai kisle kibule lahu ziva. Here he needs the pouch, so that the pouch can catch any emission that he may have, right? The pouch and the rainwater are the things that we're trying to compare, right? Just like the rainwater is totally not something that the person wants, so we tried to compare that to the pouch. Apparently, the person doesn't want the pouch at all, but the person does want the pouch a little bit to make sure he doesn't get dirty or to catch any emissions. So the Gemara says, you're right. Hello, dami ala l'seifa. Rather, the case that we need to compare, this case of a pouch, a Zav's pouch, is more comparable to the Seifa. The Seifa of the Mishnah is like this. A Reva Shiyara Dele Fatocha. Now, this is actually not the part of the Brisa that we want. Let me just find the Rashi. It's right. Mishnah Yimisechus Mashirin. Hashnuya Achara Seifa. Hakofa Ezekara. This is afterward. This is the Seifa in the Mishnah we just quoted. Vachi Tanan. This is what it wants. Just to sum up, right? The important part of the Braisa of the Mishnah is, let's see here. Right, Hanicha sheyirid hadelef otocho. So if you put a bowl so that water will drip into it, right? Hanicha sheyirid hadelef otocho. Mayim hanitzin v'atzafim. Let's say water spills out of that bowl. Yeah, so again, the case is there's water dripping. Let's say you have a leak somewhere, and you put a bowl so that the leak will drip into that bowl. So the question is, what about that water that I guess falls out of that bowl? Is that water going to make produce tamei or not? So mayin hanitzin v'nitzvin ein b'chiyutan. So that water apparently will not make produce tamei. Ein b'chiyutan, it's not considered that the water is something that you want. Shemetocha, but the water inside the bowl, meaning that's regarding water that's spilled out of the bowl, but the water inside the bowl, harei ze b'chiyutan. That is something that will make the food susceptible to tumah. Now again, what's going on? You're using this bowl to protect the floor, or whatever you put it on top of, right? To catch the water, to make sure the water doesn't damage what's underneath it. Even though the bowl was done to protect, let's say, the floor, or the thing that's underneath it, we see that the water inside can make the food tamei, and so we see that, you know, in that case, the Zav also, even though the Zav wore his pouch to protect his clothing, so that is still something that will make him chayiv on Shabbos, because he's still the pouch is legitimate. It's something that he wants a little bit. So it must be that we have to understand the two brises about the Zav differently. And this is the third attempt to understand the contradictions in the brises that we let off with, right? We let off with the brises, so that two brises that said, if you go out with his pouch on Shabbos, a Zav that goes out with his pouch on Shabbos, according to one brisa, you're chayv midaraisa, and according to another brisa, you're potter midaraisa, but you're chayv midarabana. Either way, it's aser. But the question is, what you will have to do? Do you have to bring a korban chatas or not? So Abai v'Rava damar tarvayu lo kasha. So they both answered, Ha Rabbi Shimon, Ha Rabbi Yehuda v'Ha Rabbi Shimon. So it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in a completely different context. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon have a machlokes all over Maseches Shabbos about something called a malacha shana tzricha legufa. If you do an action, a malacha, but you don't really need the result of the malacha you're doing, you're doing it for a different reason, either to remove something or to guard yourself against something. So are you going to be chayiv for that malacha? Rabbi Yehuda says yes, Rabbi Shimon says no. The case, it's in Perek HaMatznia later on, or somewhere around Daf Tzadi, I forget already. Basically, the case in the Mishnah there is that if you take, let's say it is also Hotzah, let's say you take a dead body out of a room, from Rishus Yerachid into Rishus Rabin. Now, you don't need to have that dead body outside, right? You're not interested in taking it outside, you're interested in removing it from the room. You want the room not to have the mace. So that's what's called a malacha shen tzricha legufa. You don't need the hotzah, you're trying to remove a situation. So you don't need the body outside, you need the body not to be inside. So machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether you're chayv or not, Rabbi Yehuda says yes, Rabbi Shimon says no. So too over here, you don't need the pouch to take the pouch out with you. You don't actually need it. And the question is, even though you're doing hotzah, and you're not trying to take the pouch out with you, the question is if you're going to be chayiv or not. And that's Rabbi Yehuda says yes, and Rabbi Shimon says you're not going to be chayiv, but it is aser midirabanan. Okay, fine. That's the tough part of the daf. Now let's go weiter. Tani deber Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel taught in his base medrash, Yotze Adam betfilin be'erev Shabbos im chashecha. A person is allowed, we talked about all these examples we gave on the previous daf, of things you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to go out with on Erev Shabbos, right? A tailor's not allowed to go out with his needle, etc., etc. Rabbi Shmuel says, people can go out with your tefillin, Erev Shabbos, don't worry, we're not afraid that you're going to forget and leave them on and carry them in Rishus Rabbim. My time, why is that? Came down Rabbi Baravuna, Chayev Adam lamashmesh betfilin, kol shavishah. Because Rabbi Bar Avuna said a person has to always kind of like move around or notice or be conscious of his tefillin in every moment. Kavachomer mitzitz. It's a kavachomer from the tzitz. The tzitz was the plate that went on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. Matzitz she'in bo ela askara achas. Right, the tzitz only says Kodesh Lachem. It only mentions the Shem Hashem once. But Amr Torah, but the Torah says Vayal metzchot tamid. It has to always be on his forehead, i.e., that you should never stop thinking about the tzitz. The Kohen Gadol always had to have the tzitz in mind. So tefillin sheish by naskaras harbe. Right, it's inside the tefillin. We mention Shem Hashem all the time, a bunch of times in all of the parshas. It's in tefillin. So certainly alachas kama makama. Certainly, 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 we have to make sure we're aware of the tefillin that we're wearing. Hilkach mitchar dokir luhu for sure. Therefore, he's definitely going to remember that he has tefillin on, and he's going to take it off before Shabbos. Tanya we learned in our brisa, it's a pretty well-known line, we say after Bamim Madlikin, on Erev Shabbos, we have it as Rabbi Chanina Omer, here, or Amar Rabbi Chanina, here we have it, Chananya Omer, Chayv Adam Lamashmesh Bebigdo Erev Shabbos in Chashecha, person has to kind of like feel around in his clothing when it gets dark, right, to make sure you're not carrying anything, very, very important if you're wearing a suit, and you're, obviously, if there's no Erev, right, to make sure there's nothing in the pockets. I'm Rav Yosef Hilchoso Rabsa the Shabsa, or that's what we say, but here it's the Gemara says Hilchoso Rabsi the Shabbos. It's a very important halacha for Shabbos to make sure you're not Machal Shabbos right as soon as Shabbos comes in. Rachman al Tzlan, can you imagine? Shabbos starts and you're immediately Machal Shabbos. That would be terrible. Okay. Lo Yafles Kalev, the person is not allowed to take lice out of his clothing. And he's also not, the important part that the Gemara doesn't quote here is that he's also not allowed to read anything by the lamp. Just to quote the exact Mishnah. Where is the Mishnah? It is, yeah. Lo yafla es kelov, v'lo yikare lo or haner. Those two kind of go together. The Gemara says, what's the reason for the removing of your, that you're not allowed to take out a lice? Iboilu, they asked a question. Lo yafla es kelov biyom, shema yarog. Is the concern here that maybe you'll kill the lice? Or the louse, I guess, is a singular lice. Is the question that we're concerned with killing the lice of Rabbi Elezer he, the Tanya, and it's really Rabbi Elezer she did, like the Tanya, like we learned the Brisa, I'm Rabbi Elezer, Ahori Kina B'Shabbos, Kilo Ahori Gamal. If you kill a louse on Shabbos, it's as if you killed a camel, right? Both of them are Aser. V'lui Karela Or Haner Shema Yata, and you shouldn't read by the light of the lamp because you might come to tilt the lamp. Again, the lamp used to be oil and wicks, and if you tilt the oil to make the light burn a little brighter, that is the iser of kindling a light on Shabbos. So the question, O Dilma Tarvayu Shemayata, or maybe both of them are because maybe you'll come to tilt the lamp. Meaning the question is, what are those two statements, killing a lice or a louse and reading by the Or Haner, or is it both of them and they have the same reason because we don't want you to tilt the lamp to make sure you can see the lice on your shirt? So Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a proof. Ein polin ve'ein korin lo'or haner. You're not allowed to do polin. Polin is you're rolling a lice between your fingers to make sure you wouldn't kill it, but it would kind of like disorient it and make sure it wouldn't jump back onto your, to what's it called? To your clothing. That seems to imply that it's shayach to the or haner. So the Gemara says, no, mi'al lima mi'mes nisan, it's not any better than our Mishnah. It's the same phrase, right? You can't take off the lice, and you can't read by the light of the Ner. So that groups them both together, that doesn't help. Toshma would bring you another brisa. Ein polin lo haner, ein korin lo haner. There you go, there it's clear. You can't de-louse yourself, your clothing, by the light of a lamp, and you can't read by the light of the lamp. So that seems pretty clear. And the Gemara continues. Elu min ha'alachos sh'amru ba'elias Hanani ben Chizkiya ben Garon. And that's one of the halachos that they said in that Aliyah over there. That's the place where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had a big machlokas and a big argument. That's what we're going to see in the Mishnah coming up. So Shmamina, the Tervayu Shemayata Shmamina. So we see that both of them are connected. It's the same halacha. We're concerned that you may tilt the lamp so you can see better. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Afilu lehavchin bein bigdol lebigdei isho, it's even usher for you to try and use the lamp to determine between the difference between your clothing and your wife's clothing. Amarav alo amran elo de b'nei mechuzah, and that's only for the people of b'nei mechuzah who have similar clothing styles. Avol de b'nei chakalisa, but for the people that's not a city. That's like the people in the suburbs and out in the farms. Made the yadi, they for sure know, right? Because again, the style over there was very different. That there was no way you could confuse men and women's clothing. Ubnei mechoza namila amrena dezkenos, and in bnei mechoza that's only if you're talking about older women's clothing, avol de yaldos. But if you're talking about young kids, kids' clothing, so made the yade for sure. The clothing of kids are very easily discernible. It's only the older people of Bnei Mechuzah that they would have similar clothes, and you wouldn't be able to use a light to kind of differentiate because you might tilt it to get more light and to see a little bit better. Tanu rabbanim, without the brisa, ein polin b'rishus harabim ne'akavod. You can't, if you don't have Rachman al-Tzlan, and nowadays perhaps more relevant in Israel than it is in America, but you shouldn't de-louse yourself in public because that's disgusting. That's not kavadik. Kayotibo, and similarly, on Rabbi Yehuda of Emrila, Rabbi Nechemia, Ein Osin Apik Tevizin, Bershus Rab Mepnei Kavod. A person shouldn't, literally means the person shouldn't puke or throw up in public. And it was actually done in order to eat more. Back in the day, it's unfortunately not a new malady. Rashi writes, Hakah gumita balaz kach matzot. He said that Hakah means to spit. That's what we had. So nowadays we use it in Hebrew also. That people used to literally make themselves vomit so they could either feel better or they could perhaps eat more. So that's obviously inappropriate to do in public. Tanu rabbanan. Hamefala es kelav A person who wants to take the lice out of his clothing, molel vizorek, he can roll. Oh, this is what I mentioned. I said before, molel. You can roll it between his fingers and throw it away. Ubilvat shlo yarug. As long as he doesn't kill the lice, according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to actually kill the lice. Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul says, no tel vizorek. You can actually take it and throw it. Ubilvat shlo yimalo. As long as you don't do this melila, so that you don't roll it between your fingers. All right, according to Abishol, he holds that killing is midoraisa. So you can't even roll it because you may come and kill it. And according to Tanakama, so the killing is not midoraisa, and therefore you could just roll it and it'll be fine. We're not concerned that you may come to kill it. Rav Huna says, halacha molel vazorek v'zeu kvodo. All right, the halacha is that you should roll it between your fingers and throw it away. You shouldn't crush it or stab it with a tissue or whatever. Afilu b'chol, even during the week, because it's more kavodik. It's much more coveted to do it that way. It's supposed to, I guess, maybe making your hands dirty or whatever. Rabba mekatalehu. Rabba would kill the lice on Shabbos. Rav Sheshes mekatalehu. Rav Sheshes would as well. Rava shadei lehu lekana demaya. Rava would throw them in a bucket of water. That's right, so he wouldn't kill it directly. Not because, obviously, throwing it in water will kill them as well, but it was disgusting for him to crush it on his fingers. It'd get dirty. So Amar Lehu Rav Nachman the Binte, and Rav Nachman say to his daughters, Ketulin Vashminin Li Kala Desanvasi. Kill them and let me hear the sound. Literally, it's a phrase. Right? Kill them and let me hear the sound, the voice of my enemies squailing and wheeling away, wailing away as you kill them. Meaning, you don't have to worry about it. Kill them. The halacha is that it's mutter to kill them. Tani will end up Reiser. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Ein Horgin Es HaMacholas B'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says you cannot kill lice on Shabbos. The Rebbe Shammai, and that's what Rebbe Shammai holds. Beis Hillel Matir and Beis Hillel says it's mutter. V'chein Haya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Ein Mishadchin Es HaTinokos B'Shabbos. You can't make Shiduchim on Shabbos. V'lo Es HaTinok L'Olam Do Sefer. And you can't get a teacher for a child to teach him either Torah ulam de umnus or teach him a profession. Ve'ein menachman avelim, and you can't do nichum avelim on Shabbos. Ve'ein bevakar and cholin bich Shabbos, and you can't do biker cholim on Shabbos again because you're this is for a different reason, because you're not allowed to be sad on Shabbos, and obviously those two things make a person less happy. That's the Rebbe Shammai. Ubeis Hillel matir, but Beis Hillel say that they are mutter, and certainly that's what we hold. Obviously, there's no avelos on Shabbos, so we're not mevaker. We don't do nichum avelim on Shabbos, but certainly biker cholim, right? To go to the hospital, people do. That's a common chesed that people do on Shabbos. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, hanichnas levaker zachola. If a person does go to do biker cholim on Shabbos, and we're going to see a bunch of sayings that a person can say to a chola on Shabbos. So obviously, we paskin like Beis Hillel that you can do biker cholim on Shabbos. If you go to be mevaker cholim on Shabbos, Omer, you should say Shabbos hi melizog urfura krova lovo. That's a phrase perhaps you hear in shul. Shabbos prevents me from crying out, right? Shabbos hi melizog, right? Lizog means to cry out, right? Shabbos doesn't allow me to cry out, right? Because it's, we want to be happy on Shabbos. We're not allowed to yell and scream and be sad about things. But rufura krova lovo, mitzvah sham you'll be have a refuah shleima. Rabbi Meir Omer yecholahi. Rabbi Meir would say, Shetirachim, that the Shabbos will have mercy on you, and in Mitzvah Shem you'll have a recovery. Amar Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hamakim Yerachim Alecha Ve'al Choli Yisrael, that Hashem should have mercy on you and on the Cholim of Yisrael. Unfortunately, Rachman Tzlan, this is very in Yana Dioma. Unfortunately, Mitzvah Shem, all of Klai Yisrael Shabbat for Shalema, and all of the world, really. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi says, "Hamakim Yirachem Alecha B'Soch Choli Yisrael." A little bit different language, but it's similar. Shavna Ishu Shalayim B'Knisasa Omer. Shavna, who lived in Yerushalayim, when he would go to the Bima Vakacholim, when he would show up, and when he went Ish B'Knisasa, when he entered, he'd say Shalom. U'Btziyasa Omer Shabbos Yimelizah Gurufura Krova Lavo V'Rachma V'Ruvin V'Shabbosa B'Shalom. Right? He would say that you should have a Fushlema. Hashem's mercy should be, a lot, and Shabbos should give you shalom. Kiman Azla, who did he do? Kiman Azla Hadam Rabbi Chanina. Who does Rabbi Chanina go like? When he said, Misha Ishlo Chola B'Soch Beso, Tzarech Shiyar Venu B'Soch Chola Yisrael. Someone who has a sick person in his house should include him amongst all the other cholim in Am Yisrael. Come on, Rabbi Yossi. That's like Rabbi Yossi, again, who said that that you should daven to include the chola with all of Am Yisrael. That's certainly the minhag when we make a mishaberach. We say in Shemoneh Esrei, B'soch Shar Chola Yisrael. If you add that Yiratzon in Refaino, and right, and certainly the language in the mishaberach, so we make in shul, it reflects this halacha. Really, with difficulty, we allow people to do Nichum Avelim and Bikur Cholim on Shabbos because, you know, again, it makes people sad and there's a big Indian to be happy on Shabbos. Amar Rabba Bar Rechana, Ki Avazlinim Basrei De Rabbi Elazar, L'shluye B'tficha, when I would go after Rabbi Elazar to go visit people who were sick, Zimnin Amar, sometimes he would say, Hamakom Yif Kadchal Shalom, Hakadosh Baruch Hu should redeem you for Shalom, for peace. V'zimnin Amar Rachmana Yidkerenach or Yidkerencha v'Shalom. Right, that's Zion and Dalet and Zion are interchangeable. Dalet in Aramaic is Zion in Hebrew, so that Yidkerenach meaning may Hashem remember you for peace. Yishevu Fush Lamas. So Gemara says Hechi Avirachi. How could he have done this? V'amar Rabbi Yehuda said, "Lo'olam al Yishal Adam Tzrachav B'loshan Arami." Person should daven in Aramaic. I shouldn't. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Kol Hashol Tzrachav B'loshan Arami in Malach Yesharis Niskaken Lo." If a person davens in Aramaic, the angels don't hear, don't pay any attention to him. She'in Malach Yesharis Makirin B'loshan Arami, because the angels do not understand Aramaic. So before we get to the obvious question, let's just finish up the phrase. So Gemara's answer is Shiny Chola. No, Chola is different. The Shechina Imo, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was with a Chola. Damar Rav Anan Amar Rav. Minayin Shechina Soid is a Chola. How do you know that the Shechina himself protects or uplifts or keeps the Chola upright? He sustains him. Shemar, as the pasuk says, Hashem Yisadani Al Erish Davei. Hashem sustained me on my sickbed. Someone who goes into Dim Vakar Cholim, Lo Yeshev Lo Agavi Mita, Lo Agavi Kise, you shouldn't sit on a bed or on a chair, because the Shechina is there, Eva, Misatev, rather you should wrap yourself, I guess in a talus or whatever, in appropriate clothing, V'yoshev Lefanov, and sit in front of the Cholim, V'pnei Shechina L'mala Merashosav Shel Cholim, because the Shechina is in front of the head, or is right, resting by the head of someone who's sick, Shenemar Hashem Yisadeni Aleir Shtavai, quotes the same pasuk. V'am Rava, and Rava says, "I'm a Ravin. Minayin Shekosh Baruch Hu Zanes Achola." How do you know that the Kosh Baruch Hu sustains Achola? Shenemar Hashem Yisadani Aleir Shtavai. Again, he quotes the same pasuk. Now, the question that we actually have to get to is, what in the world is Gemara talking about when it says that you shouldn't daven in Aramaic because the angels won't hear? Obviously, we do not daven to angels. Right, that's crazy. Right, we say that we daven to Kosh Baruch Hu. We don't need daven to the angels to take our tefillahs upstairs. That's a little bit kfirdik, right? The Ramban writes, many places, right, that we do not, that one of the forms of Avodah Zarah is considering the angels, right, davening to the angels, right, considering the angels to be the intermediaries and stuff like that. No way. That's not how we roll. So there are many understandings of this. Basically, the Meiri is my favorite, and he writes that the Gemara is not literal, that it's an expression. It's like, if you want your tefillahs to be answered, don't dive in Aramaic. Because if Aramaic, the angels won't listen. It's like a figure of speech. And basically, when a person dives in Aramaic, and again, the Aramaic is our English, right? Again, first of all, just to clarify, it is mutter to dive in English. Sometimes it's better to dive in English if you don't understand a word you're saying. But if you understand the Hebrew and you understand the English, but Aramaic / English is your mother tongue, so a person pays less attention to the words he's saying when it's in a language that he is born with. But again, Aramaic, back in the day, that's what people spoke. That's why the Gemara is in Aramaic, and same thing with English, and that when a person davens in English, slash Aramaic, so it perhaps has less kavana. So that's what the Gemara is trying to explain, that a person davens in Aramaic, it's like he's just like muttering to his friend, he's just saying things that come to his mind, perhaps he's not focusing as much as he should be, and quote-unquote, even the angels won't listen to it. It's as if it's a figure of speech to explain how the person won't have proper kavanah. All right. Two dots. V'lo yikra le'or haner, a person shouldn't read next to a lamp. Amar Rava says, afilu gavoa shtei komos, even if it is two floors up. Afilu shtei mirdos, and if it's the height of two. Now I have no idea what mirdos are, but the art scroll here. I looked online. I think it was. On Merkava. If you don't know, then Merkava.com has some translation over there. It says it's an ox goad. Now I have no idea what a goad is, but I assume it's pretty high. Okay, meaning the Gemara is again explaining that even if the lamp is out of reach, right? Afilu shtei mirdos, afilu asara batim zu gavizu. Even if it's that high up, even though there's no concern that a person is going to actually get to this lamp and tilt it. Still, lo yikarei la'oraner, there's something called lo plug that the Rabbanan made exera and did not distinguish based on their situation. You don't have to start measuring, can I reach the lamp, can I not reach the lamp, maybe I can get a ladder and get the ramp or the lamp, or maybe I can use the reed over here and maybe reach the lamp. No reading next to a lamp that has oil in it, regardless of whether you can reach it or not. So the Gemara says, chadudulu likri, hatrei shapardami. Right, so the implication is again when the Mishnah said lo yikarei la'or haner, that's singular instead of lo yikaru, they shouldn't read, but he shouldn't read. But implication is if there are two people there and they're reading la'or haner, so if someone goes to tilt the lamp, so the other guy will remind him. Hey, by the way, it's Shabbos, it's Asur, don't do that. Didn't the Brisa say a different Brisa said? One person can read Lo'or Haner, and two people can read Lo'or Haner for sure. Neither of them can read Lo'or Haner. So Rabbi Elazar, Lo Kasha, Kam B'Inyan Echad, Kam B'Shnei Inyanim. So Rabbi Elazar says, yeah, it depends on what they're reading. If they're both reading the same thing, the same topic, right? They're both looking in the same book. So then if one of them goes to reach for the lamp, so the other guy will be like, you know, smack his hand down, make sure he doesn't reach the lamp. But, you know, you've been on, I guess, the subway back in the day. Right, nowadays, everybody's on their phone, but back in the day before we had phones, so you go on the subway in New York City and everybody's reading their own book, and if someone, short of someone getting punched in the face, right, you wouldn't notice anything happening to the guy next to you because you're engrossed in a book. So if two people are reading two different topics by a candle, so if one guy reaches for the candle to extend the light, the other guy's going to have no idea. He's in his own world, he's reading a different topic. So then it would be usur. But if the two people are reading the same topic, so then it would be mutter. Amar Ravuna. Ravuna says, "Madura, if you're talking about a bonfire, afilu asar b'nei adam asar. Even if there are 10 people, then it is asar. And the reason is because you know a bonfire, people are not bunched together in a bonfire. People are more spread out around the bonfire, and there's less of a chance that you'll be able to remind somebody if they go to try and kind of like stoke the coals or stoke the wood." And make more light, so if people are not as close to each other, they won't be able to necessarily remind each other that it's us or on Shabbos if some guy goes to do it. Sorry, Amar Rava. Rava says, "Im adam chashuv hu mutter." If it's a adam chashuv, back in the day, an adam chashuv would not necessarily. It was almost beneath his kavod to kind of tilt the lamp and kind of make the oil move around a little bit. So if he's an adam chashuv, so we have no concern he's going to tilt the lamp even on a weekday. So then on Shabbos it's mutter. Meisvei, I ask you a question. One second, lo yikarei lo haner shemayata. You shouldn't read right by a lamp because you might tilt the lamp to make the oil kind of catch the wick and make it more light. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, ani ekra v'loeta. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said, I could do it, no problem. I'll read and I won't. Tilt the lamp. Pam echad karo bikesh latos, and once he was reading and he wanted to tilt the lamp. And Amar, and then he said, "Kama gedolim divrei chachamim." Oh, how great are the words of the chachamim? Shayu omrim lo yikarei la'or haner. I understand this gzera because I almost came to do it myself. Rabbi Nosson Omer kara vehita vehata vehita. I'm not sure. I think it's vehita. Anyway, Rabbi Nosson says no. It actually happened that he actually did it. He actually did it, and he actually was Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg. Because of Alpin Kaso, and then he wrote on his notes, Ani Yishmo ben Elisha Karisi V'Teisi Ner B'Shabbos. Yishmo ben Elisha, I did this. I was Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg. Kshi Bani Beis HaMikdash Mitzvashem Avi Chatas Shmina Meheri Bani Beis HaMikdash. When they build Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to bring a Korban Chatas, a fat Korban Chatas for my chayt. For not taking this seriously. and for violating Shabbos. I'm Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, no, Shain Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Again, that would effectively, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was a chashuv guy. So you see that even an Adam chashuv could come to violate this Isser. And maybe an Adam chashuv also shouldn't read Lo'or HaNer. So I'm Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said, no, Shain Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. No, he was different. Why? Hol masim atzmal divrei Torah kehedyot. Because he treated himself when he was learning like a hedyot. He didn't carry around this aura of chashivus. When he was learning, he considered himself to be a regular person, and therefore it wasn't beneath his kavod to tilt the lamp to get more light. Okay, Tani Chada, we learned one brisa, again, contradicting brises, different brises, contradicting brises. Shamash bode kosos vikaros lo raner. A shamash is usually a servant, or it could be the custodian of a shul, but either way, he's allowed to check cups and plates on Shabbos, and we're not concerned he's going to tilt the lamp. And another brisa says he shouldn't check plates and cups, if they're clean or not. So Lokasha, the Gemara says, it's not a stira. Kam b'shamash kavua, kam b'shamash eno kavua. So the first case, where he's not allowed to do it, is when he's a permanent shamash, when he's kavua, but that's where he works. Right? He's afraid that if the stuff that he serves, the cups or the plates are dirty, so that would be a problem. Right? Then he's going to get fired. So there it's usher, but by shamash eino kavua, by let's say a waiter who's not necessarily permanent in his plate in certain in a hall, so he's not going to get fired necessarily if the plates are dirty because he's not always there anyway, right? He's just hired help for the weekend. So there it would be mother because we're not concerned that he's going to tilt the lamp to make sure that it's the plates and the cups are totally clean. All right. Or another way to another answer, both brises are by a permanent a waiter, a permanent servant. It depends on what kind of lamp it is. An oil lamp, so then that doesn't smell so bad, so people may come and tilt it, but a nafta lamp, which is a neft, which is we also have nowadays in Israel, although that's already dying out a little bit. But that already smelled really bad, and we're not concerned that you're going to tilt the lamp and you're going to leave it alone. Iboy Lehu, we asked the question. Shamash she'inu kovua b'demishcha mahu. What about a shamash she'inu kovua? On the one hand, the shamash is just there for the weekend. He's not a permanent servant. But there's an oil lamp. What's the deal? Are we concerned he's going to tilt it or not? So Rav halacha vein morin kein. Rav says it is mutter. It's mutter for him to use the lamp to check to make sure that it's not so dirty, that the plates and cups and etc. are not so dirty. But vein morin kein. But we don't teach this to people publicly because people are mekil. So other people maybe will do it on their own. Right? We don't want people to start getting into the habit of checking these things, and perhaps they will come to violate Shabbos. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Omar, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba says, halacha v'morin kein. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba says, no, that's the halacha. We can teach that to everybody. We don't have to worry. People will know that it's not everybody. It's just for these temporary waiters, servants, etc. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba ikla lebei Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, who says that it's mutter to teach this to everybody, he went to Rabbi Asi's house and kam shamei kabadik lenahora deshaga. And Rabbi Yirmiyah's servants started checking the tableware by the light of the lamp. So I'm related to Bisu. So Rav Ashi's wife said, Umar lo avinachi. How could you do this? So Rav Ashi said back to his wife, no, Shafke, leave her alone. Kirabe Sfirale, the servant holds like his master, i.e. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba was the one who says that, yeah, it's mutter, and we can teach everybody that this is the halacha, and we're not concerned that other people will come to take this leniently and not seriously. Okay, Shkar Kharmosai, a bit of a long daf today with a lot of explanations. Mitzvah Shem, we'll go weiter tomorrow.